So as the app already read, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Yes, I'm going to tell you where it is. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Luke chapter 11. This is not the beginning of the walk. They've been with him a minute. I mean, it's chapter 11. You know, chapter 1, the disciples already been recruited. It's the reason I make this point. All of a sudden, they realized they didn't know how to pray. They hadn't seen the miracles. Jesus done did the fish thing and all that. What made them now decide that they needed to know how to pray? Why do we, my God, attempt to walk with the Lord for so long, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, doing our mess, making our church claims, saying what we heard said in church, all this stuff. Stuff ain't working. Stuff ain't going the way you think it should. And then sometime it never happens. Especially the longer you in church, the worse it is. That's a bad thing to say, ain't it? The longer you in church, the worse it is. It's worst. It's worst. Because you get more and more and more and more set in your stupidity. At some point, you stop and go, my praying working. Lord, teach me how to pray. Obviously, this prayer I've been praying for 15 years ain't getting the results that I see in the Bible. I'm speaking to the mountain, and as soon as the mountain moved, it fell on me. Somebody know what I'm talking about up in here? If it didn't move, if it didn't fall on me, it got bigger and got more in the way. At some point, I'm supposed to say, I'm not praying right. Or what I'm doing and calling prayer is not prayer. Can we have this conversation today? Who wants to have this conversation? Lord, teach me to pray. I've been praying about my attitude, my temper, my feelings, my emotions, my opinions, what I think should have happened, what I should have claimed, where I should have been for so long. It looks like I'm still saying this prayer. As we read the rest of this, I want to make sure you understand something. Because we're going to read the rest of it. You've heard me say this, if you've been around me any length of time, that I try to do from time to time, my spot check, my pull-in. You know, just pull into the garage and get my oil checked and have God do the whole, you know, 9-point system check and make sure I'm running okay. I find myself doing it a lot more lately. But saying, okay, God, you're calling me to this, but my bend is to go that way. You're saying go ahead, but my alignment keeps making me go to the right. Or the left, or my other right. And I'm going, God, obviously what I've been calling prayer is not working. Where am I stuck? I'm going to say this before we finish reading. I want you to listen to me real close. Say this with me. Habit is not an evil thing. It's been used for evil. But it was created by God for good. See, when we think of habit, we think of drug habit, gambling habit. You know, we think of some habit that's bad. But you can habitually do good and right. You can habitually pray. You can habitually talk to God without having to go to Sunday service in church. How many of you right now find yourself doing anything and just realizing, I just need to talk to God? Driving down the street, getting in the shower, you know, no, right? It's become a habit for you to communicate. And if you go a little while without feeling like you've communicated, I'm not talking about sit down and pray and fast and open your eyes, hushamalama. No, I'm just talking, just pray, talk, that communication. That's what it is. It's communication. You've developed the habit. A lot of people have a habit of only going to God when there's a problem. So you've learned to habitually talk to Daddy, to reach out without even thinking about it. I'll give you another habit. If you wear shoes with laces, you tie them every morning. You don't even realize you tied them. You don't sit down and say, okay, let me put on my schedule, tie my shoes. Hopefully you habitually wash your behind every morning. Hopefully. But these are habits. My mouth don't feel right until I brush my teeth. Well, there's people who don't have that problem. You've met them. So these are good habits. Good habits. God created habit for us that if we practiced it, it becomes part of who we are, and we don't have to keep making ourselves do it. It becomes a part of our makeup, and we'll function in it. So when people say the child was born with this bad habit because he got this from his father, I'm like, well, spirit, maybe. But habits taught. Habits taught and practiced. So when the scripture says I should meditate on the word day and night, that's a habit that I can develop. That's a habit that you can develop. That's a habit that you can develop. That's a habit that you can develop. So somebody may think this is silly. I don't care. This is my life. I'm not trying to live up to anybody else's. But I have a habit of when I'm pulling in, going somewhere, that I say, I know people pray for traveling mercies and whatever that is. I don't know what that is. But I immediately get on the road and I begin to speak protection over me, my car, and everybody on this stretch of road. I'm like, I don't want to get there. I want everybody. I say, that's my way of saying to Satan, I'm covering all bases. I'm praying for me, everybody that's on 80. As far as it goes, if it goes to Oklahoma, then that's what I'm speaking. When I get on 95, I'm speaking it there. Yeah, I do it. Does it work? I think it does. If I sense lack trying to approach me, and I have to say it that way because I haven't experienced lack in so long that I don't even know what that's like. But when I sense it, I begin to pray for everybody that God will bring to my spirit habitually. My point is, my habit is when I pray about a situation around me, I'm all inclusive. I'm like a real good getaway package. I cover everything. I make sure I cover everybody that I can think of or anybody that God leads me to pray for. So you guys get prayed for by me for stuff you don't even know. I just do it. It's a habit of mine to include other people in my prayer intercessory. And even though I don't consider myself an intercessor, whenever you pray for other people, you are interceding. And it is my belief, strong belief, that me and nobody that God has associated with me should lack.
Amen.
That's my belief. Well, you may not be where you want to be, but nobody here is where they used to be. So the level it works depends on you, but I tell you this, nobody in this house lacks. That's a good average to have. Nobody in this house, nobody under my covering lacks. Nobody. That's my prayer. Because when I wake up every morning, I say, my needs are met. And so are theirs. Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those you gave me. But sometimes I pray for the world too. But specifically, I pray for the ones you gave me. Say, that's good habits. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And they were looking at John's disciples, and I guess at this point figuring that they knew something that they did. That John's disciples knew something about prayer that they did. If you say, teach me to pray like them, you Jesus' disciples, chilling with Jesus, and then you looked at John's disciples and said, we need to know how to pray like that. You're with Jesus. But you're looking over there realizing that maybe you don't pray as good as John's disciples do. Ooh, it's getting quiet. This is my conclusion. I don't have scripture to back it up. But maybe they weren't yet disciples, they were entourage. And now they were growing to a point that they realized that they probably needed to be a little something more than entourage. A lot of people go to church, they're not disciples. They're just Sunday morning entourage. We roll with Jesus. But there's no display of power. There's no evidence that you're connected with him other than you hanging around him and hoping to get some spillover by being in his company. Here we go. As John taught his disciples. So he didn't say, they didn't even say, teach us how to pray, period. They said, teach us how to pray like them. Listen to what I'm about to say before we read the rest of this. Do you want to learn to pray like John's disciples if you got Jesus? I want Jesus just teach me how to pray. Like you. So Jesus comes back with the simple, but strong statement. He said, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. If we was reading the King James, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. The rest of it is what? But deliver us from evil. Why? For thine is the kingdom, come on, and the power, come on, and the glory, right? Forever and ever and ever. Ever and ever. Amen. Now, I picked the shorter one because I said, okay, Lord, This one, Luke decided to focus on just this part of it. Each disciple wrote the story from their perspective, and maybe they remembered more of it in Matthew than what Luke did. But I saw something here that spoke to me. Father, Abba, the word is translated from. What does that mean? Daddy, Father, go ahead. Come on. You see, because we know Abba means Father. But it doesn't just mean Father. You can cheat. You can go look in your concordance and stuff if you want. I want you to really look at Abba. Because he says, start by saying Father. Why? First, tell me what you find. Or tell me what you think. I want you to look. Abba. Yeah, it's Father. But it's got more weight than just natural Father. As you dig, let me make this point. He said, when you pray, say Father, comma. Right there. That's a pause. Why? Okay, but Father, when you pray, say Father. There's a reason this one is different to me than the other one, and this is what I'm going to help you see. When you pray, say Father. Why? No takers? Okay, we'll take acknowledge. Esther, make it personal. That's good. I like that. That's where you go in. The other one says, our Father. Everybody's Father. This one says, just say, Father. Personalize it. Acknowledge. It didn't say, oh God in heaven. O majestic King and Creator of heaven and earth. Stop and acknowledge when you pray that you're talking to personally Father. Can you feel that already? That's an acknowledgement right there. I think his is cut shorter because he went straight to the meat of stuff. Not our Father, not Almighty God, Jehovah, Rapha, Jireh, whatever. Father. Because Father, in this term, is patriarch. Okay. My God. This message is a little interesting to teach because a lot of us didn't have this experience or don't have this experience with a father. So when we hear that, I know for me, I had to allow God to rewrite the script of my heart and change the definition of father. My father, somebody I never met, never saw, these men that my mother may have dated or married that didn't treat me right, and then there was my godfather who showed me love and covering from his fears and inabilities that life had given him. Growing up in segregation, all this kind of stuff, he grew up with the belief that certain things we just are not supposed to have. These were the fears. If you come from some of these countries that, like Haiti and whatever, and your family does, not you, and they come from that kind of environment, and they get here, there's still this lack, struggle, hardship environment. You got here, now eke out an existence, you got opportunity. Don't be too greedy. Get what you can. I'm saying that because I know a lot of you are from Haiti. There's other countries other than that. Right? It's a thought process that if it's not broken, the cycle continues even though you know the truth. You pass it on to your kids. So you have to allow God to go in, pull out that index card, rewrite the meaning, and then stick it back in there. So for me, father meant guy I never met. I know he must exist because here I stand. My mother said I look like him, talk like him, laugh like him, whatever that means. I never even saw a picture of my father till I was in my 50s. So, hello, like, I don't know what look like him means. Right? I don't know what act like him means. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't even know if this guy's real or fairy tale. I know he must be real because everybody says that's how you're born. Okay? So in our mind, we know God must be real. We've heard about it. We've had some experiences. We know that there's some cosmic relationship between... Oh, can we have this conversation?
Yeah.
Oh, we know there's some supernatural cosmic thing that goes on. He's God of the world and he's everybody's God. And God loves us all and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But what does that have to do with me and him personally? I like all that stuff. That's nice. Sometimes I get in church and get the Holy Spirit and get the chills and all that stuff. So God is good at giving out chills. When you find them, you know, it don't happen every Sunday, but it's that certain song, that certain Sunday, you just might get that. Whoo, I felt his presence. I don't know when I'm gonna feel that again, but it was good today. Wasn't service good? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor preached the message today, didn't girl. Father, I can do the whole message on just that. Stop and take in what father means. Patriarch, not the one who's married to your mother, not the one whose sperm produced you, not the one who had a job or didn't. Patriarch, foundation of all creation. Father, you are creator of all, and my dad, the blood that runs through my veins, the way my system, circulatory system works, where I breathe, whether disease gets a hold of me or not, whether I'm provided for or not, you are father, and if you are provider, then I am provided for, so therefore that's not a concern for me. In every level, emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because the foundation, the patriarch, the father is mine. Oh, somebody need to take that in. So he said, when you pray, first say Father. Don't get to all the other stuff without the understanding of Father. Somebody said to me, Abba is like daddy. And I said, no. That's still not a big enough word. Because this word father means creator, architect, foundation, structure. Everything that is. I've come to understand now why I'm such a structure person. I'm like my daddy. I don't like disorder. I like things in place to the point that it irritates people at times. And they'll say, you know, you have obsessive compulsive. No, I love order. I'm like my daddy. I like to know what's working, why it's working, why it's not working, what can I do to make it never be in a situation where it doesn't work again. I like to play chess. I like to be 15 steps and moves ahead. I don't like to run into a situation and then scramble to figure out what I'm going to do because I know my daddy don't do that ever.
Amen.
But I had to get a rewrite in my spirit of father. I had to take absentee out. You may have that in your definition. Deadbeat. You might have to take that out. Deserter. You may need to take that out. Works all day, but don't pay no attention to me. You may have to take that out. Like the other kid better than he liked me. You might have to take that out. Neglect or molest or whatever thing that's in that category description. You might have to take that out. I say might, you do if that's the situation, but each person's situation is different. That's why I mean might. For me, it was stranger. Unknown. Never heard of. Just knew about. I told you, I could do a whole message on just father. So before we can pray, we need to establish Father. My dad did the best he could. You might need to rewrite that. Because God is never struggling to do the best he can. He can always do the best. Father. When you pray, acknowledge Father. So, step two. What kind of Father do you have? Not earthly. We ain't talking about the earthly ones now no more. Father. Who's my Father? When I say in this prayer, Father, who am I talking to? God, okay, that's the straight answer. Who am I talking to? Yeah, you're talking to God, but which God? What kind of God? Okay, let me give it to you like this. How many of you believe and have believed that if your finances was just in a certain place, everything would be so much better and your life would be great? Be honest. Okay. Those of us who have seen the move of God come to the realization that money don't fix everything. It does not. And you see suicide among rich people just as much. And their kids are just as drugged out and depressed and seeing psychiatrists and psychologists. So obviously, wealth and status doesn't change the state of a person. One of the things Daddy walked me through during the course of this week, and I didn't want to share it publicly, and I won't go into detail, but I will go into it to the degree that God told me to. This week, I was attacked twice with a spirit of depression. I mean, attacked with it, feeling the weight of it, and not being able to stick my finger on why. It's just an attack. It don't have no meaning. Satan don't have to explain to you, I'm attacking you, and here's why. Right. Let me break it down for you and tell you what I'm doing right here. Right. And it just came on me. I think first day was Monday. And I was restless. I kept doing things to try to distract myself. I went for a drive and I tried to just talk to people and tried to just shake it off, and people prayed with me, and I prayed. I had Angela prayed, and Lindsay prayed, and Nellie prayed, and you know, I feel good for a minute, but then you got to hang up the phone and lay down and go to sleep, and it gets quiet, and then all the voices came running back in. You're a failure at this. You're a failure at this. You're never going to get this. I don't know what you think you're doing. And remember when you did this and you said that, and that was wrong. And remind you of stuff I said when I was 17, 18 years old, I did that was stupid, and that's what I felt, you know, just all of it. And the noise. I don't know who needs to hear this. But there was something in the side of me that said, you going to push and you going to crack something open that you ain't ready for, dude. I'm telling you, you might want to back off right now. Because I already know you're going to overplay your hand. And once you open that door, I know what's inside of me. You can mess with my mind and my head, but once you try to pierce my spirit, you're going to get jacked up real bad. Because I know what's in me. I know who Father is. So yeah, you put me in this emotional roller coaster, but dude, like, you sure you want to, you know, from Hancock, are you sure you want to ride this train? Because it's going to get real in a minute. I'm trying to let the enemy know. It's about to go down. So I prayed. Prayer wasn't working. Because I couldn't make my mind focus on the prayer. See, sometimes that don't work. Because prayer with no root don't work. So I'm trying to make myself say stuff. But my heart ain't committed to what I'm saying because my mind is all over the place. See? Well, I'm speaking to people today. So I literally said, God, what do I need to do? I can't even make myself focus on prayer. And he said, put the word on. Just turn it on. Just like you heard it turn on just then. That's why I turned on, because it's still like the app where I had it. Boom. And let the word start speaking. And he said, now, I said, well, this verse don't have nothing to do with what I'm going through. He said, it's the word. You don't need a fortune cookie. Why I got to say exactly, and if you are depressed, da, da, da. Just put it on and just listen to the word. The word is the powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It could be the word about fishing. Just put it on. Did you hear what I just said? I spoke to somebody. Just put the word on. You don't need to get the prayers that avail much and find something that speaks. Just put the word on and let the word speak. So I put it on, let it speak. And it's talking about the 10 versions. Well, I'm far from that. But as I'm letting it speak to me, I'm hearing things. New revelation is coming, but I'm feeling it pierce the noise. Because all I needed was space. Enough energy to get out for the next round so I could go upside the enemy's head. And I felt the space breaking. And all of a sudden, I'm not listening to that mess. I'm listening to the word. I heard that scripture a million times. But today, it just was good. One more time, it was good. And all of a sudden, I felt this presence descend on me. And I slept like a baby. I slept a full night. I usually don't sleep a full night. I haven't slept a full night in about a year. See, about 3 or 4 hours, wake up. I'm up, wide awake in the middle of the night, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, fall back to sleep, you know, almost when it's time to get up and then get, you know, my sleep has been broken for a long time, which I didn't know or think to take authority over until one of y'all told me to pray that. I don't remember who. I don't want to give credit to whoever don't deserve it. But one of the women in my life said to me, you know, you can claim your sleep. I was like, duh, yeah. So Tuesday night, it hit me again. But this time, I was hearing different. I was looking for something. Because I had a meeting with Father the night before. So, not God, but Father. He came and he nursed me. He helped me like Father. He lifted me up. He assured me and he said, this is what people that go through that go through. They commit suicide and all this kind of stuff. They go to people and they can't find help. You have my power and my presence. But I've laid hands on people and have seen people get freed from depression. But I never understood what I was binding. So the enemy, by his trick, exposed his hand. Oh, spirits of depression ain't got nothing on me right now. But that comes from being with Father. Now, oh God, if you can help me, God, please save me, God. Oh God, I just make it go away, God. If you could just make it stop, Father will fix it. How many fathers up in here like, no, some mess with my kids or my stuff, Daddy gonna take care of that. Daddy gonna risk his life or for his kids. Daddy gonna lay his life down for his babies. Real daddy. Not baby daddy, real daddy. Real father. And I'm like that to those of you who are my kids that I ain't even birthed. How much more God? So when you say Father, you're not praying to cosmic Superman. You're praying to the one that's like, not only can I protect you, I will protect you. I will answer. I will respond. I've been waiting to bless you. I've just been waiting for you to line up with this relationship so we can have this relationship. Father. Father. When you pray, say, Father. What is Father? I just told you. I can't go no more on that. I mean, I can, but I'm not going to. I think we got the point. Then everything else works. Then everything else works. Who's this blessing? Who's this speaking to? So now it gets deeper. Ready? Holy or hallowed is your name. Because you know who you're talking to. And I already knew hallowed is your name. But now I know you're my dad. I know I'm your seed. So now I'm not the hollowness of your name, meaning there's nothing impossible for your name is holy and majestic and all that good stuff. And you're my dad. So let me sit this down and let's walk through this. Very, very bullet point emotional story of my life. But just really something, a 2-second conversation that has stuck with me forever. You know my boy Markel. Markel is not super expressive emotionally. He doesn't have that part of me. He's more like what his mom was. He's pretty cut and dry with it. I reach out and try to hug him, and he gives me this, and I grab him and hold him. I'm like, come on, give me a real hug. And he still just gives me the little, like, all right, you're making me uncomfortable kind of feeling. Like, okay, let me go. Right? Quite opposite of what he was when a child, but as a man, he's become very that way. Then he went to the Marines. So now you add that on top of that. If it was up to him, he would just give me high fives. When he gives me a hug, it's like, all right. So if Markel gives a compliment, it's usually like a one sentence compliment, but you got to get the meat out of it. I mean, it's juicy and packed with stuff, but you got to dig. If you got extracted, if you soft hearted, or you thin skinned, he ain't the one for you. He ain't the one. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know my son. He love all of y'all, but it's kind of hey, what's up? You good? He don't do no hugs and caresses. That's not his thing. He came home from the Marines from one of his tours. He was getting ready to go back. He came home. And he ran into a friend of his. This story is important to me. I don't know if it's important to you. It's important to me. It's important to the message. And he is packing his bag and he's getting ready to leave. Now, at this point, like I said, he's more open now than he was then. He was real on his soldier mode, shut down, I'm being programmed to kill mode, right? So he's packing his bag, getting ready to go. So I'm standing there. I know ain't going to be no, you know, cats in the cradle, for those of you old enough to remember that warm moment. I'm going to get as much of his presence as I can, because I'm that kind of man. Those of you who know me understand. So I'm standing there watching him pack and just having small talk. So he's putting the stuff in the bag, and he's just folding the stuff, putting in there very, very meticulous, very doing his thing. And he said, oh, yeah, I saw such, such. He said, tell you hi. I said, oh, yeah, how you doing? Fine. few more seconds of quiet. Then he says, when he start calling you Pop? I said, I didn't know he did. He said, yeah, I told Papa Brown. I said, hi. I said, I guess that's what he just called me. I don't know. Packing, doing his thing. And he looks at me and says, looks like everybody wishes you were their father, huh? I said, yeah. But you are my father. You understand what I'm saying? I had to get my man on. I was like, yes, I am. But that impacted me because he hit his chest. But you are my father. They wish you were their father. But God gave you to me. And he knew that. And he knew, and the way he said it, but you are my father. I never forgot that. So even when I get my little hugs, I remember that. And I went to God and said, you everybody's father, but you are my father. You are my father. You love the world, but you love me. Oh, come on, babies. Get in on this. Get on. Listen, I'll take them all for myself. But you are my father. I thought I was moving on to the next problem, right back on Father. That's where God want me today. Because the rest of it don't work. Without that. Your prayers don't have the power if you don't have that. Your faith don't have the power if you don't have that. You're my Father. Mine. And I heard in his voice, I'm privileged. God gave you to me. You are my father. So when I call his kids on FaceTime and they fight over the phone, my grandpa, I'm like, it's enough grandpa for everybody. I'm both of your grandpa. Don't do that. But the point is, yes, I'm both of their grandfather. But individually, they're acknowledging and fighting and making it clear, but my grandpa. Yeah, you our grandpa, but you my grandpa. Well, my father's name is hallowed. And my father has a kingdom. So he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done. What's the next line? Those of you who've been around me know. In earth. I've made that argument many times. Not on earth. Right, that same place. In me, as it is in heaven. Are you seeing what's happening here? Give us each day our daily bread. Now, I looked that up in the commentaries, and that's not a request, that's a statement. If you want to read that right, just put the word you in front of it. That's not a request. You just acknowledge he's your father. He's saying when you pray to the Father, say this. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in me as in you give me every day my daily bread. Say it like that. Right now. No, you didn't say it like you meant it. You didn't say it like this. You give me every day my daily bread. You take care of me. That's what he's saying. You take care of me. You're my Father. You take care of me. You're my Father. You take care of me. When they found out I was selling the MDX, he said, I don't know. I might want to keep that myself. I was like, son, you just bought a new car. You don't need it. He said, nah, I don't. But he knew. I don't care what deal you're worked out. You my Father. If I tell you I want that, that deal's over. My Father. My Father. He knew it. He knew it when he was saying it. I might want to keep that for myself. I said, son, you just bought a new car. He said, yeah, you're right. I don't need it. But he knew at that moment that if he said it, I would have had to go back to Jesus and say, you're going to have to wait. Me and God are going to have to talk because I got to confirm some things right now. Because I'm his Father. Come on, y'all. So I know you give me every day my daily bread. I'm not praying for that. I'm stating that. You didn't say, is hallowed be your name? You're saying it is. And you said, your kingdom done, come. That's a statement. That's not a request. Your will be done. Okay, let me help you. I know. Because prayer has been so polluted and the use of the word has been so disgusting that maybe this is where the problem is. And God just showed me it. The good psychologist that he's made me. Prayer is not when you're asking for things. I've taught you that. That's petition. Make your request known with prayer, supplication, petition, request, right? So then request and prayer is two different things then. So we have all thrown it together and we've said petition is prayer. We've even said supplication is prayer. I'm not going to get into a whole message on that today, but you'll know what supplication is. If not, go look that up. But supplication is when you lay out before God and you know, intercede and cry out and do all the stuff you do and fast and all other kind of stuff. Supplication. They said, make your request known with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. So we understand that there's certain different things. So when we say pray, we read that now as request because that's what we've been calling prayer our whole lives. So now that that's cleared up, prayer is conversation with God. Then this is not request being made. This is acknowledgement of who my Father is. Got it? So he's saying, hallowed be your name. He's saying that's a fact. Your Father, you are in heaven, and hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, that's not a request. Your will be done. That's not a request. In earth, that's not a request. I'm stating a fact. Is God's will not being done in you as it is in heaven? I'm not saying totally, but are you not closer to him than you ever were before in your walk? It's a statement of fact. I don't have to pray for stuff that's done. How many of you get up every morning to pray for salvation? Why not? Because he's your Savior. And nobody can tell you, even when you make mistakes and messed up, you still know that. Nobody can make you question he's your Savior. Then how come they can make you question he's your provider, your healer, your deliverer, your Father? So he's not asking, he's stating. You give me every day my daily bread. That's what Jesus said. Don't take no thought what you're going to eat. For your heavenly Father provides for you. So he's not asking for it. Look at the birds of the air. Take care of them. Aren't you much better? All of this. These are statements. Let's go back to where we're coming from. What's the title of the message? This is what he's doing. When you pray, speak and declare things. When you pray, speak to the mountains, say, be thou removed and not done. Right? All of this is speak affirmative statements. You give me this day. You give me every day my daily bread. You forgive me of my sins. That's not a request. That's a fact. But here's where it gets tricky. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. So then that's where it gets the other way, right? You can ask for forgiveness if you're not sowing forgiveness. He's not saying, nope, you don't forgive nobody. I don't forgive you either. Nope. Mm-mm, that's it. Nope. Mm-mm. That's not God. He can't do that. He's saying, well, where's your seed that you're sowing? I don't want to go far into this, but I do want to make this as a point. And you're listening to me. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Unforgiveness is not you saying who makes me mad and who upset me that I need to forgive. That's a very, very small part of it. Forgiveness is just letting go of things, period. Period. If you read this in the King James, he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So what is he saying? I'm praying for God to have the bank to forgive me all of this debt and to get me out of this. And God's like, yo, you still upset with somebody because they never gave you back your $50. You want to be debt free? Don't hold no debts over nobody.
Amen.
You know how many people jack me for money? And I ain't talking about no $500 either. I'm talking tens of thousands. And you know what I've learned to say over the years? They can't steal it from me if I call it a seed. I just changed the status of it. Took it out, moved it from the credit to the debit and the debit to the credit. Whatever I need to do to it, I just moved it in my categories. I've had somebody steal stuff from me. And I say, I'm calling that a seed. Yeah, you are not going to have me hostage now to a debt. And sometimes they kind of come and they say, you know I did, and I want to give it back. And I go, okay. Praise God, but I already reaped my harvest on it. Who needed that? I'm not even letting nickels and dimes. I'm not letting you, you put up your hand, Mike, and that's beautiful. Because what came to my mind was the guy who showed up and then got the steaks and all that stuff and then walked out the restaurant and left the bill on you. At Mikey's graduation.
That was gone. That's been,
but you understand? Stuff like that. Yeah. That could be a debt that we carry and carry. And, yo, he came there and he ate up all the food and he didn't even pay the bill. And then you walk around, which is every time you think about it. Yeah, that's so-and-so, right? No, I'm not letting anybody have a debt on me that I'm carrying. You got it, it's yours. Especially if you know you ain't getting it back anyway. Just call it a seed and let it go. Make something good out of it. So he said, I know you forgive me my sin because you've gotten me, ready? Going back to the beginning, ready? Because you got me in the habit of forgetting those who sinned against me. It's practice. It's practice. And I like the last one. And you lead us not into temptation. They changed that from a prayer to a direct statement. exactly where it should be. It's not lead us not into temptation, please, God. Please don't lead us into temptation, God. He says, and you don't lead us into temptation. It's a clear statement. You do not. Who needs a clearer explanation of that? Because we did it last week in James. Let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. You lead us not into temptation. You don't lead us into temptation. But every man is drawn of his own lust and enticed. You don't lead us to temptation, God. You do not. You do not. So let's wrap this up. What's the first rule we need to establish, or first thing we need to establish? What? What? Father. That's the first thing we need to establish. I will ask you, for those who do homework and those of you who don't, maybe you will, go home and study as much as you can about Father. Not your understanding of Father, but the full exhaustive definition of Father. Not, don't go home and study your Father. Go home and study Father. And you will find some very powerful revelations about foundation that will change when you pray, what you pray, and how you believe when you pray. See, when you pray, you can't pray and believe, are you listening to me, without a solid foundation. You cannot. It's not possible for you to stand when the winds come against you. When that spirit of depression came against me, if I didn't know who my Father was, I would not have known how to stand against that thing. And it was noisy. I mean, it was so noisy that I couldn't even hear myself pray. So what did I do? I retreated to Daddy. I rolled over into his arms and said, okay, I'm just going to put your word on and let your word soothe me. And I couldn't hear his word and hear the enemy's word at the same time. It drowned it straight out. And I said, I got you. And he picked me up. And he said, okay, now, next time he come, you hit him straight in his face like this. And now you can help other people when they get there. That's Daddy. That's Father. And that's how we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.